May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, Eastertide is a brilliant time to get to know Jesus better. On Easter Sunday, we got to know Jesus as in the empty tomb as our risen Lord. And last week in the gospel lesson, we got to know Jesus by faith in the midst of our doubts in the Lord's encounter with Thomas. And today, we get to know Jesus in Scripture and in the breaking of bread as Jesus walks and dines with two despondent disciples on the road to Emmaus. You may have noticed that the story picks up on the very same day when Jesus is discovered to be missing from the tomb and appears to his disciples in the upper room. So while we here and now today are technically 2 weeks removed from our Easter celebrations, complete with the baptisms that we had, this passage from St. Luke's Gospel is actually taking place on the very first Easter Sunday. Seems that Jesus is pretty busy playing catch-up with his disciples after he's risen. So while Jesus is walking along with his disciples to Emmaus, they don't recognize him at first. Christ is incognito, whether by design to gradually reveal himself or simply by circumstance of these disciples' forlorn grief as their beloved rabbi has been crucified and their hopes for the Jewish kingdom to be restored have now been dashed. Either way, it's clear that these disciples have no conscious recognition of Jesus' presence there with them. How many of us go through life unaware of Jesus' presence with us? Even those of us who make knowing and following Jesus a priority find ourselves at times clueless to the love and presence of Christ that's closer than our very breath through his indwelling spirit. But Jesus is in the business of removing our spiritual blinders so we might see him in all of his resurrection power and glory. Just how does Jesus unveil our eyes to see him, to become aware of him? Well, one way is through the Bible. We read that while Jesus was walking with these disciples, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. The Lord shows us himself first and foremost in the pages of Holy Writ. We discover Jesus in a veiled fashion in the Old Testament and in an unveiled way in the New Testament. The Messiah long promised is now the Christ revealed, this side of the empty tomb. When we read the Bible, one of the first questions that we should ask the Holy Spirit is, how is Jesus present in these words that I'm reading? Looking for Jesus in Scripture is a cornerstone of the ancient Lectio Divina method of reading and meditating on the Bible. The Reformers also sought to read the Bible with a view to learning more about Jesus. So this isn't a denominational thing. All Christians of any stripe share the priority of looking for Jesus whenever we pick up the Bible or hear its lessons read each week in church. But still, the disciples didn't quite realize who they were walking with. So they stopped for the evening, and Jesus pretended to be going on. But the disciples insisted that he stop and share a meal with them. Why would Jesus feign like he was going on? It begs the question if sometimes God pretends at other times, but perhaps that's a bit beyond the scope of our passage and what it's trying to say to us this morning. I see it as Christ opening a door for deeper inquiry, deeper fellowship, deeper connection with Him. Our Lord is not about to force His way into our lives. He only comes at our invitation. Jesus is a gentleman, always respectful of our limits as fallen, mortal, and sometimes mercurial creatures. But the disciples had a heart to know Him more. They longed for the company of this man, explaining the Bible and teaching them about the Messiah in so compelling a way that their hearts burned within them, as they later recounted. Jesus simply whetted their appetite, not just for a physical meal, but for a spiritual feast. The disciples wanted more, so they let Jesus into their lives a little bit more, albeit unknowingly. I can imagine that the conversation continued along a similar vein while they waited for dinner. But when the bread and the wine were placed on the table, Jesus took the initiative to bless the bread and break it. And in that moment, a switch was flipped in the minds of these disciples. This is Jesus. And as quickly as that realization occurred, the Lord is gone. Poof, vanished. Jesus was invited as a guest, did the blessing as a host, and then disappeared the moment the disciples realized the Lord was with them that whole time. There was something in that moment, sharing a meal with Jesus, that opened the disciples' eyes to see Jesus for who He really is. Of course, good Episcopalians that we are, the first thing that comes to mind probably when Jesus breaks the bread is Holy Communion. As well it should be. We do meet Jesus at this holy table each week as we gather. Hopefully we see Him ready to bless and nourish us with spiritual food as we recount His life, death, and resurrection. His mighty acts that restore us back to right relationship with God and with one another. By faith, we encounter our risen Lord at this table, just like the disciples who were heading to Emmaus at their table. But perhaps that's not the only table we should be looking for Jesus at. Is Jesus present when we grab lunch with coworkers? Is He there when we sneak a burger with the kids on the way to the next music lesson or soccer game? Is our Lord waiting to engage us when we sit down as a family for dinner, which hopefully you do at least once a day, as counseling professionals recommend? All right. Jesus wants us to realize that the same Heavenly Father who provides food to nourish the body also supplies food to nourish our souls in the presence of His Son. Jesus is the bread of life. We read about Him in Scripture, but we can transform any occasion that we stop from the cares of the day and eat into a chance to feed on Christ spiritually as well. We can share stories about how good He has been to us that day. We can ask those we break bread with for prayer for the concerns that befuddle us or wear us down. We can offer prayers for those who are suffering, who may not be there at our table, but their concerns are still touching our hearts. And Jesus will nourish us in those times of sharing, feeding our souls by faith. Seeing how Jesus meets us around the table to share a meal in community, it shouldn't surprise us to see those disciples all of a sudden dart right back off to Jerusalem at the end of our story today. They wanted to share their encounter, how they met the risen Jesus. And when they linked back up with their fellow disciples, they realized that Jesus appeared to them too. reaffirming that what they experienced wasn't just a dream or wishful thinking. Jesus is alive, and he opened their eyes to realize that he was right there with them, even in the midst of their most woeful and disappointing time ever, when they trudged from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Jesus is willing to meet us right where we are. Do you have the eyes of faith to see him? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, stay with us, even when evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our companion in the way. Kindle our hearts and awaken hope that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and in the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen.